William J. Bratton is often called a policeman's policeman. He's been commissioner of police in New York and Boston and was the commissioner of the New York City Transit Police, which was the sixth largest police force in the country. Just about a year ago, at a time in his life when many other law enforcement professionals might welcome retirement and a few lucrative consulting contracts, William Bratton consented to become the chief of police of Los Angeles, a vast spread of a city that has more area than New York, but far fewer police, and a history of discord with its own community. Chief Bratton joins us from his office in Los Angeles. Chief Bratton, thanks very much for being with us.
It's great to be with you.
And what motivated you to take this job?
Several things. That I had left the position of New York City Police Commissioner in 1996, went into the private sector, had my own consulting company. Life was pretty good, but throughout that period of time, I was missing being in law enforcement, making decisions, having impact on people's lives. Living in New York at the time of 9/11, it reinforced that desire to come back into policing. And really, I didn't consent to come back in as chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. I aggressively pursued the position. I was one of over 100 candidates that applied for the position.
You'd like more police officers in L.A., wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd love more police officers. I have a police force of 9,200 officers. To have the equivalent of what I had in New York City, I'd need to have 18,000. This was a very disgruntled, demoralized department over the last couple of years. I think, by most accounts, we've been very successful getting them re-energized, refocused. Arrests are up over 10%. Murders are down almost 25%. Overall crime down over 4%. So we're getting back into the game. This is a department that will admit that it was missing in action for most of the last decade.
But as I understand it, from this distance, the city council doesn't agree with you, or at least doesn't want to pay for additional policemen.
There is a strong political dispute at this time in Los Angeles. Is there money to pay for more police? Mayor put in a proposal to hire 320 more, which is it's something, but it's nowhere near enough as to what's going to be needed. And I'm going to hopefully be making a case in October for a reconsideration of what it actually is going to take in terms of actual numbers of officers to, like we did in New York, like we did in Boston, turn crime around and, more importantly, tip it. I'm a great believer in the Malcolm Gladwell concept of tipping points, that you reach such a point of critical mass that you accelerate a change, whether positive or negative. The city saw an acceleration of negative change when the gangs achieved such a numerical impact in the 80s.
And Chief, what do you do about gang violence? Because, as I don't have to tell you, there are, alas, some people that that think this is between gangs, and in the end there's not much an outside police force can do.
There's actually a lot that can be done. That there was a thought in the early 90s that police could not do much about crime or fear of crime, and I think we clearly proved that in the subways and in the streets of New York. That police count. We had the critical mass, the tipping point mass of enough police, almost 36,000 police when I was commissioner, and then subsequent to my leaving, the department increased to 41,000. So you could police the whole city with large amounts of police who focused not just on the serious crime, but also on the smaller crime that fed so much fear and the sense of disorder, whether it be the people not paying the fare on the subway, or the squeegee pests, or the aggressive beggars, or the prostitutes, all those so-called quality-of-life crimes that we have now come to speak about using the term broken windows, the George Kelling, James Wilson theory that you need to pay attention to the little things as well as the big things.
Well, but about gang crime specifically, what do you think there are programs that you can undertake right
now? Well, we've already begun to do that. This was a city that, with 9,200 police officers, and only 300 who were focused very specifically on a crime problem that causes over 50% of our murders and 50% of our violent crime. So we were not focusing enough resources on our most significant problem. We have created new gang units that are not only uniformed officers, but narcotics officers and detectives. So we're able to go after the things that help to support gang crime, which oftentimes are the narcotics trade, the wide availability of guns, and also to focus on what is the stock and trade of gangs here in Los Angeles, violence. Many of these gangs exist just to basically practice violence. We are not the sole solution, policing, but we can have significant impact on reducing it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you have to break up the culture. You have to provide other alternatives, such as jobs, such as better schools, such as mentoring opportunities. But what we, the police, can do is provide a better climate to try and encourage all of that.
Is it an honest department now, LAPD?
Yeah, I believe it is. I've been in enough departments, studied enough departments here and around the world. American police departments, by and large, are the most honest, most corruption-free of any in the world. But the reality is, and this is a reality, this department, for most of its modern history, ignored it, felt that it was not like those East Coast departments, corrupt or subject to corruption. Well, Perez and Rampart blew that theory.
The Rampart District scandal.
Rampart was the terrible tragedy, if you will, in the sense of a core group of corrupt officers stealing from drug dealers, shooting them, beating them, just basically crooks with badges. And I think we've come a long way from there. Do I have still problem officers? Certainly. I think that my percentage of officers, problem officers here, are about the same as what I had in New York and Boston. And I think that that's usually about 1% of the department, and I think that almost holds in every department around the country. So out of 9,200, I've got 100 officers that I'd like in some way, shape, or form to get out of the department. Some are corrupt, some are racist, some are brutal. But it's a matter of making the case and being able to move forward with them. And we're very aggressively doing that. I have a new head of internal affairs that I brought in from outside the department. We have the benefit of the consent decree monitors who are very aggressively working with us. And we have also developed very good and new working relationships with counterparts in the federal government, FBI, U.S. Attorney's Office. So rather than being investigated, we are cooperating and working as full partners in the investigations, and that's a significant change for us.
Are you talking about a consent decree after the Rampart scandal, Chief?
That's correct. Consent decree now is into its third year. Mm-hmm. The Rampart scandal was the catalyst for the federal government coming in and finding that there was significant civil rights violations being committed by the department, and so the city entered into a consent decree of the federal government to preclude the federal government from actually taking over the department. That's where the idea of the monitor who works for a federal judge comes in.
Well, what makes a good cop?
A number of things. One is commitment to do good. The idea that there's no job in America that provides the opportunity with the frequency and the complexity of this job to impact positively on people's lives. From a practical standpoint, that policing has become a middle-class profession. It has truly become a profession. We have significant numbers of college-trained personnel now, and that's usually one of the elements of a profession that the people that are engaged in it have higher education levels. And at the same time, we then are able to support that with very good salary and benefit levels, which are intended to, if you can keep an officer's mind off those personal types of issues, by ensuring they can live a good life and get his kids through school and buy a home, that he'll be, one, less susceptible to corruption, but two, it does really free him up mentally to focus more on the job. And the job is all about impacting people's lives in a positive way.
Chief Bratton, thank you very much.
Okay, pleasure talking with you. All the best.
William J. Bratton, Police Chief of Los Angeles, speaking from his office there.